Hello and welcome for a timestamp. We are in the Inner Healer gathering today. Tonight, it's our Wednesday 7 p.m. class. So it's the last class for January. And we are in a new moon in Aquarius tonight. And it's really an exciting time. Before I came on the call, the last hour, I was sitting down making notes. I'll show you the notes, right? These I have 2 pages of notes. And I'm laughing because as I got to my computer and I kind of set up this faux desk here, all of a sudden it was like everything shifted and the information that was coming through was not the notes. And I was like, well, imagine that, right? It's not like it's the first time that happened, but like, all right. So we probably will talk about some of it, but I think, we're going to be talking about a lot of different things here today. So we're just going to flow with it and you guys can jump in and ask your questions and hopefully I can help you with whatever's going on. These energies are super high. It's really an exciting time for us. If you think about everything that's going on, we're in this new moon in Aquarius, and like this is the jump off. And the reason it's the jump off is because we just had that seven planet lineup. Now it's not like we don't have that seven planet lineup like every year, right? We have planetary lineups. I mean, maybe not those seven planets, but we have planetary lineups every year. It's just that at this particular point in time, we have specific planets that are lining up that are poking certain other aspects in the lineups. And then we have a shift with the nodes of fate. We've talked about them in other gatherings before. And the this Pluto moving into Aquarius at 1 degree, right? And then as we look at all of that energy, as if that's not enough, we also have a 9 year, which is a year of endings and culminations and expansions, right? The letting go. And then we're in a year of a snake, and it's a wood snake. So being that it's a wood snake, it's of the earth, right? It's asking us to get more grounded into ourselves and less focused on the outer, we call it the outer reality, but it's really the illusion. Okay. So it's asking us to really come from this heightened place within ourselves so that we can be in our fullness for the expansion of these energies because these energies are requiring us to get still and present in order to take them in so that we can have the maximum or maximize the use of these energies and bring ourselves into greater potential, right? If we're paying too much attention to what's going on over there, then we're more over there than we are being present. And if we're over there or over there, then we're not really here. And we're not here, that's when things happen, right? And I know that we have a few people in the community that have already experienced these type of situations or circumstances that have happened, right? One of those people is Joanne, who had a car accident. The car accident was the result of the light turning green. Her looking, seeing, right, in the awareness that she had the clear green light, the clear path to the left to make that left-hand turn, but it wasn't clear, and she ended up colliding with another car. Thank God she is safe. The most important thing to take away from that is, how present are we? What is our energy like? What's the energy in the car like? What was happening in that moment? And I did have a brief dialogue with her. And Joanne, if you want to jump in and talk, you can do that. But it's important for us to have an awareness too, the idea that we can perceive ourselves as being fully conscious and present, and yet we're not, because our idea of consciousness might have been created through the dynamic of a small shift that occurred that took us away from a little bit of chaos that we were dealing with. And now suddenly we're not really in that chaos. We feel more centered, more balanced, but we're not still fully in our presence. We're just a little more centered and a little bit more balanced. Okay. And so what ends up happening then is because we think we're present, we're not really practicing presence. We're not focusing on presence. And I believe that that's what happened to you, Joanne, on that particular day where you perceived that you had the right of way to make the turn. Would you agree with that? You can unmute.
I agree. I just think that I understand, but I was only, I guess it doesn't matter the amount of time that, I was only in the car for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and you see how, and I'm just going to play with you for just a second here, right?
Alrighty.
You see how the ego wants to go, but
Yeah.
right? They because the ego, when there is a moment where our consciousness is challenged, where our human exists as presence, right? And it's not our higher self as presence. Then suddenly, and it again, it's not a judgment, it's just an observation so that we can all, myself included, do a better job being in the moment of what is transpiring, right? But when we say, but I was only in the car for a moment, or but I was only this, or I was only that.
Right.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get my papers to stand up. I was only doing this, or I was only doing that, and then we kind of go into, this little bit of separation from within ourselves, and then the human, unconscious human, steps up, and the human goes, "Oh, but it was only for just a second, and I thought I was in, I thought I was in the right, or, but I was only in the car for 5 minutes. How could that possibly be, right?" And wants to argue that out. That's the ego coming through. Now, when the higher self is in alignment, when the higher self is present, the higher self doesn't see a need for any blame or any kind of
Explanation,
explanation. Right?
right.
Because what it sees when the higher self comes in, the higher self says, "Hey, you know what? It was in its perfection because it showed me something that I'm not paying attention to. It showed me somewhere that I'm creating from that's not in my highest place of alignment." And my idea, right, thought was that I thought I was doing a good job or a good enough job, but now this is showing up to show me where I need to do better. I need to really practice presence. I need to be more present for myself within myself, right? And it's never a judgment because when things happen, even if it's something like that, it's a moment for us to take it in and say, okay, how can I work with this energy as opposed to, transitioning directly into like victim consciousness. And when we go into a state of victim consciousness, the first thing to change is our voice, right? If we're in a more feminine victim conscious state, right? If the feminine is trying to come in, we'll hear it in the voice. It becomes very whiny, right? Like it, and then if the masculine comes in, the masculine is going to complain, right? It's going to complain. It's going to be like, well, this was the circumstance of what, blah, 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 but the divine feminine consciousness, the female consciousness, is going to be like, well, I was only in the car for 5 minutes, and we're going to hear a different sound in the voice. So we can always tell where we are if we're paying attention to what's going on within our body, right? And these energies have no mercy. They don't care because they're so high now. They're so potent. Because they're all coming together. The snake energy wants us to shed the old ways. It wants us to renew ourselves, right? It rebirth ourselves, give ourselves a good opportunity for a new reality to come through. But if we're still playing out the old reality, right? So maybe, where were you going, Joanne?
I was going home.
You were going home.
Yeah.
Okay. So may were you going home from like seeing your parents or?
No, I was just got my toenails done.
Okay, so what were your thoughts? Where was your head?
I don't know.
You're thinking about
I
what
think that
happening?
I'm not thinking, but apparently I'm thinking.
Were you thinking maybe about what you needed to do the next day?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think a lot of times I don't think I'm thinking, but apparently I'm thinking. Does
Okay.
that make
Okay, so another aspect that's coming up, and I'm seeing this a lot, right, in people that I'm working with, is there is a possibility that you were in a voided state from just getting your nails done, and that maybe not being present in your body, right? Maybe being a little too floaty. We can be floaty and not present in the body, or we could be floaty and take the body with us in our presence, and then operating from a higher state of, this expanded consciousness. And, I was just having this conversation today where sometimes when we're driving, especially now, and some of you will already be aware of this, we have to practice breathing deeply into our body as we're driving, right? I'm having this awareness for myself, and also the awareness that we have to blink our eyes, because in these higher energies, as the body is tuning, we go into a mode of zoning out. You ever drive and find yourself just staring? Like you're staring. You're not really paying attention. Your eyes are not moving through the road. You're not really noticing the surroundings. And somehow you just drove 30 minutes and you don't know how you got to your location because you were in some other time zone, right? So that's another part of all of this where we have to bring ourselves into this balance, because what's happening now is as we're having these higher level energies coming through, we're going to start to notice timelines shifting very, very quickly. Okay. For me today was a very slow day. Okay. I noticed the today felt like a 24-hour day. Normally it would be like, what, we're up for like 10, maybe 8, 10 hours, right? But it felt like I was going for 24 hours, and it was like, when I looked at the time as I was sitting just before class, I think I got home somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 o'clock, and I was like, wow, it's still only like 6 o'clock. And then I look at the time again, I'm like, oh, it's only 6:05, and it feels like it should be like 7 o'clock, and I should be getting on class, That when you're noticing that, you're noticing the timeline, time itself speeding up or slowing down, you're creating that through your presence. The more present we are, the slower time is, because time and your day and your surroundings and the interaction that you're having is directed by your energy field, right? So when you notice time speeding up or slowing down, you're having an awareness that time is being stretched out, that you're in essence bending reality or bending time, right? And when we're not paying attention or we're not present, you ever notice how fast time goes? Like you can't get a handle on the day, because every time you look at the clock, it's like another 2 hours has gone by. You're like, where the hell's the day going? Anybody have that? Right. So these are moments where we need to be completely present within ourselves and recognize that we're creating all of this. And in some way, we are using our energetic field, known or unknown, to create this illusion of time. We're either creating it to our benefit, where we slow it down and then we have plenty of time and we could be in a more relaxed state. And when we are in that more relaxed state, we're not aging. But when time is speeding up and we're forgetting and we're in a rush everywhere we go, or everything that we're doing, excuse me, we're creating a faster timeline, and time is speeding up and we are speeding up. The molecules, the cells, the atoms, and we're aging. Okay. So if you notice, and this is a game you can play, because I have noticed this the last couple of years, but whenever I'm going through a shift, and if I'm not paying attention and I'm not present, I just have to look in the mirror. And if I see a face looking back at me that looks like it's a little older than it was an hour ago, a day ago, a week ago, I know I have to tune myself to even more awareness in my presence, because it means my energy is speeding up and my aging process is speeding up. But when I'm really present and I'm conscious of every action that I'm having and what I'm doing in the day, then time is slowing down and I'll notice, oh, suddenly I look younger. How did that happen? Right? But it's all tied into the illusion of time, especially around new moons. And we have a new moon today, and this new moon is going to stimulate the energies, stimulate our consciousness, our field, and it's going to create the idea that everything is speeding up, right? Or could be stretching out, and then suddenly time is slowing down. So we have to pay attention to this now, because this is going to be a big part of the interaction that we're having with our reality as we're creating. And one of the reasons that I continuously say, do not look at the outer reality, do not watch it collapse, is because with all the technology out there, right, with AI technology that's out there, it's really hard these days to tell what's real, what's true, what's false, okay? And what's happening is that even people who are awakened are being tricked and fooled into the idea of separation through what they're seeing play out in the illusion of the outer reality, right? And so we have to really focus ourselves within, because that's where we're managing the reality from the within. Loretta? Was Loretta? No?
I hit
Sue?
it by accident and have my glasses on.
Oh, okay. Sue?
I had a really interesting experience today. So I had 2 hours to make a formula for someone, a skincare formula, and I felt rushed in that 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure that I wasn't paying as good attention as I could have been. And it's funny because earlier in the day, like I'm taking a class right now, and they didn't send the Zoom link in the email. So I requested they do that. They wanted me to sign into the site. And so they said, no, we can't do that. And I was creating more time for myself because when I was trying to finish my formula quickly, there were technical problems on their end. And the class ended up starting a half hour later.
and I would have had plenty of time. And I made a mistake in the formula, so I have to do it again.
Yeah, that's what happens, right? Because we're not present and we're not realizing. One thing that you can do going forward is to just, before you engage in whatever the task is, to really center in your body and then focus on the idea, right? We're going to think it because the thinking part of it, the thoughts are electric, if we look at law of attraction, and the emotion of it is magnetic. So they will attract each other and then it will feed into our reality. So one of the things that we could think of, and we can repeat it over and over again, is I have all the time in the world to do this.
Yes, that's what I needed to do. And I had created that for myself.
Yeah. But look at the beauty. I know, and I'm going to be the proverbial optimist here, right? Because everything is in its perfection, even that which is unwanted. You've heard me say that 1,000 times. I should put that on a t-shirt. We should all be wearing a t-shirt that says that, because that is the truth of how this works. Okay. When we lose sight of our opportunity or ability to create, we're leaving the result of what it is that we are trying to facilitate up to the powers that be. Now, if we look at that, what are the powers that be outside of ourselves on an external? What are those powers? The collective consciousness. If you look at the collective consciousness right now, would you want them managing your reality? I don't think so. They're a freaking mess, right? I wouldn't want any of them touching anything that I had going on because they're a mess. But when we recognize that we are all powerful and we take our power back and we start to create through that power, then we start to understand that we have the power to work with time, right? Eventually, we're going to talk about creating weather. And the power that we have for creating the weather that we would like to see, because we have that power too. We just don't utilize it. Nobody teaches that. Nobody teaches us how to do that or how to tap into that, right? And could you imagine if we were all creating in our own little world and had this little world of perfection and everything was in its highest vibrational alignment? Your soul wouldn't learn anything. It wouldn't be fun anymore. And we're here for the game of being human and shifting the consciousness into higher elevated states. Now, you have to look at it as what's going on the earth, as everybody being called home to higher consciousness, to source consciousness, because it's technically the game is over and everybody must wake up. Now, is that going to be the case? Is everybody going to wake up? No, there's certainly going to be people that are going to be locked in the idea of denial. Not wanting to be wrong about something, and they're not going to give in, and they're not going to allow themselves to shift. And that's perfectly okay because they're also serving a great service, right? What they're serving for the rest of us is an opportunity for us to see where the measure of that 3D reality lies and where not to be in our perception of our reality and how we want to interact in our reality. Okay. So it's up to us to get really, really clear, which is why for the past, I don't know how many years, we've talked about, authenticity, right? And standing in our truth and our power and being our most authentic self and coming back into the self in the highest way that we could possibly do that. And in order for us to do that, we have to shed out or purge out the things that are not in alignment with us, the things that are not working for us, right? We could go back in time when people were talking nothing but inner child work. Inner child work is so old, it does not work anymore. What does it keep you locked in? Cycles of abuse. And it has you ruminating over your cycles of abuse and your childhood over and over and over again. And if you don't have a process that alleviates you from that and takes you out of that and helps you step forward from that, you're going to be in a cycle of abuse with inner child work for the rest of your life. That's why conventional therapy doesn't really work, because it wants to keep focusing you and cycling you back to your childhood. I don't know about you, but I'm done with that. I don't sit in the past anything. The past has no relevance. And, yes, there's the work of forgiveness, right? We hear that and we hear it through the Course of Miracles. And those doing the Course of Miracles know what I'm talking about, because it all focuses on forgiveness. But even that, we need to just forgive and move on from it. And the reason that we don't want to forgive is because the ego is in charge. The ego wants to play from that place of separation, creating separation for the human experience, right? So once we start to get clear and we really break this stuff down and we're really sitting in the idea of what is, we're not playing in the ego games anymore. Like, I don't care what anybody says about me. I don't care what anybody does to me, because it is so irrelevant. Like, my ego does not interact anymore. It does not get to interface anymore. I write down some words, right, that we get caught up in, that we get stuck on, like validation. How many times do we want the outer world to validate us? How many times do we want the outer world to love us, right? How many times do we look at that and be like, oh, if only I could get the likes on YouTube, or if only I could get the likes on Instagram, right? It's irrelevant. All of that is irrelevant. If we're expecting or desiring a reaction to what it is that we're offering, then we're stuck in the ego, right? But if we're doing something because we're purely in the joy of doing it, and it to us it's not relevant, or it doesn't even have a factor into our reality, whether somebody appreciates what we do or, has love for it or respect for it, and we can let that go. We're truly present in that moment. And then we're creating from the higher of the timelines, right? But if we can't do that, then we're sitting most of the time, most of us are in the past. We've been taught to look at the past. We have been told, mostly through school, not to dream. Right? I know I used to get that all the time. I would be daydreaming out the window looking, and then I would get, Miss DC, we need your attention back at the front of the class, please. And talk about shaming, right? In front of the whole class. And then you feel embarrassed because you feel like you were doing something wrong. That's actually our birthright, right? That's how we create. We create through the expansion of consciousness, and the expansion of consciousness goes in through to all of these amazing places, right? But the only place that we've been focused on by the structures of the spiritual community or the healing community or even the medical community is to focus on the past. Oh, it must be something in the past. You got to look there and then unstick yourself from there. It doesn't work because you're going backwards, right? We could do an exercise. So everybody just look forward, right? Just look into space in front of you. Relax yourself, relax your mind. You're not closing your eyes for this. We're going to keep our eyes open. Now, as you're looking forward, I want you to look to your left with your peripheral vision, right? Don't move your head, just look with your peripheral vision and tell me, through your sight and your feels, are you feeling anything from your past? Okay. Now, most of you are going to say, no, you're not, which is a good thing, because that means that you are more present in this moment, because this is simply an exercise in this moment, there might be some of you that might be looking to the past who just had some trauma, right? And you might look to the past and say, yeah, I do see the past right now. I'm not trying to give all my attention or focus there, but I do see the past. And that's okay, because we have to recognize what it is that we're turning to in our past, right? But we have to practice such presence in our lives, present awareness, that we're not feeding the past, even in traumatic experiences, through our field that is creating chaos in our body, or chaos and distortion for our mind, right? So that we're not in that state of flux and we can be somewhat focused on creating from a present state of being. Because then, when we are present, no matter what has transpired in our past, we can look at that with love and compassion and understand that we might not like it, but whatever it was needed, right? So bringing ourselves into present state of awareness will bring the higher self through and allow for more interaction and guidance with the higher self, takes the ego out of the picture. Now, in the same likeness, I'm going to ask you all to do the same exercise, except this time, turn your peripheral vision to the right, to your future, right? To the right, to the future, because the left is the past in the old environment of 3D. And we're going to turn our peripheral vision to the future, to the right, and look at the right and see, what do I feel? Do I feel something in the right? Do I feel anything? Do I feel nothing? Do I see something? Do I see nothing? Right? And if you might see something, you might see something that you can't even identify what you see, but you're having all this joy and you're having all of this excitement coming through your field. And if that's the case, then you're tuning to what a higher timeline, or something that you're feeling coming in as the timeline is shifting for you, right? So it's important to have this awareness so we can get some kind of clarity for ourselves as to where we are allowing ourselves to play. Because if we're focusing on our past and we're not present, we can't resolve the discord emotions that we are holding on to. And that's really important for us to do in these higher frequencies that we're playing in. Okay. I hope this makes sense to all of you. Does anybody have any questions? No? Okay. So I know we've also had a circumstance here, Rob. I hope you don't mind, but Rob was just in a car accident, and he was actually hit by a car. Okay. So through the class, and when the class is over, please make sure you're sending him some light so that he can access the light for higher levels of healing, as I know he can heal himself very quickly through this. But you know, Rob and I just had a conversation that, you know, Friday, like last week, last Friday, because he got clocked in the head with a crowbar as he was trying to fix something. I don't know if you want to come on and share, Rob, but he was trying to fix something. And there might have been a lot going on, you know, with a lot of things going on with him or for him in his life. And I always say, you know, the universe hits you with the 2x4. And then if you're still not paying attention, you might get run over by the Mack truck, or a house drops on you. And unfortunately, you know, the Mack truck came through. Thank goodness it wasn't, you know, something worse. Right, you are a bit banged up from that, and I think
Yeah, a
you're,
bit, yeah.
yeah. So, do you want to talk about that and maybe share what was taking place with you?
Well, when the original accident happened, I was actually to the point at work where everyone else was out sick, hurt, whatever. I was all by myself and trying to do the job of like three or four people.
Overloaded. Yeah.
Way overloaded, way ahead
Yeah.
of myself, and it
And
was
that's
just a
the
simple.
crowbar.
Yeah,
Yes.
that was that
Okay.
steel bar. That was it was a simple thing where I sort of lay in the kitchen wanting to open the window. Excuse me.
Sorry. And I was like, oh no, give me that. You're gonna get hurt. Let me, I'll do it for you. And I was pushing it up and talking at the same time, not paying attention. That thing just let go and clocked me right in the head, pretty hard in the head.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we kind of like laughed about it. She's like, oh my God, you're all right. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm fine. And I brushed it off and I continued on. And then as a few minutes went on, and then a few more, everything started swelling up and pain started coming on, and it stopped me in my tracks, literally. And I pretty much, to fast forward on that, I swelled the side of my head, I got a concussion, and my eye swelled up, and I ended up in the hospital. And somehow got better. My boss was pushing me to come back to work, and I came back to work that day. And I finished the day off because there was nobody else there to do anything. So, no big deal. Came back to work. The girlfriend was coming over for the weekend. Excuse me. And we had a lot of things planned and we had a lot going on. And so being ahead of myself again, straight through the weekend. And when we walked out of Target that night, we had had an argument. So I was stuck in my head about that. And I had the concussion going on. And it was snowing really hard. And I'm saying, where's the car? Or where's the truck? And she goes, it's right there. And I'm looking at it. And I'm like totally like out of sorts. Like I wasn't even sure where I was. And I'm not sure why, but, and I looked and she goes, no, the truck's right there. And I'm like, no, I don't see it. So I go to take a few steps forward. She goes, don't you see the toolie on top of my truck? I'm like, oh, your truck. And that moment, I said, okay. And I took about four steps forward, and the car came in behind me and just took me out. Went up on the hood, went flying, got knocked out for a few minutes. And next thing I know, I was on the ground, laying on the ground, a bunch of people around me, a bunch of people screaming. And it was like someone slammed the brakes on in my life. And so for the past week and a half, I've been sitting here recovering. I got out of the hospital. She thought I was dead. She thought I broke my neck the way I fell. And yeah, a lot of people, like, she saw it, but when everyone was like kind of running over, and I don't know, I think I escaped that one pretty definitely.
Yeah, it sounds
But
like you were very distracted by what was taking place. You hadn't recovered from the trauma of being hit in the head by the bar, plus the emotional trauma of the emotional and mental pull of work. It's safe to say if you couldn't remember that you drove there in her car, her vehicle, and not yours, that you were not operating within your body. You were
Not at
already
all.
outside of your body, and not present.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. Wasn't even aware of my surroundings. Hence, I mean, could I avoid that accident? Maybe. Maybe if I was paying attention to what was going on, but yeah, it's crazy. Now I have all this time on my hands.
But something, let me just say this, and I think this is going to apply to others here too. It's an important dialogue. So this is really important because we have to look at soul contracts. Okay. Whenever I see something like this, even, other types of accidents or other types of circumstances where there's another individual involved and there's some kind of an injury or something else. It's always soul contracts at play. Okay. And because we're really done with karma, like karma is done. Okay. It's not about the relationship stuff anymore. We've changed nodes. We're in a spiritual awakening right now. We're not playing out the relationship stuff. That dynamic is over. We're not learning to be spiritually evolved through our relationships and our connections with others. That's done. And what we are doing now is we are shifting into the relationship with ourself and being, refocused within. So from one perspective that I could look at this and say, this was a huge karmic timeline closing, in this sense, right? Something that he's go the driver of the car that hit you is going to gain from this. And it might not have been at the moment of the accident, but it might come a little down the road for him, right? And then there's also what you're gaining from this, okay? And so the karma at play here is between you and your girlfriend and you and the person that hit you. And so in another lifetime, parallel to this one, you might have run him over. Okay. And so you're having that karmic redistribution of energies now that karmic timelines are closing, right? And we're in new nodes and it's not about relationships anymore. And we can also look at this from the perspective of the wood snake energy as we talk about shedding. And one of the most important aspects of where we are in this time on the earth as, evolved humans, because we're still in a human body, evolved humans expanding our consciousness, is to understand that in the moment where we are having an argument with someone else, it's up to us to step out of that energy. Now, I'm not saying that you walk away from that person and, and shut them down or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that instead of taking on their emotional charge, and this is going to take practice, okay? Instead of taking on their emotional charge, instead of matching that emotional charge and then some and giving that back, we step out of that dynamic of the argument or the challenge in that relationship in that moment, step back, and we look at it, we observe it from an observer perspective, and we look at what is needed right here, what's needed in this moment right now. Okay. So, and when we can do that, when we do that, one is we have an incredible opportunity for ourselves to come from a place where we shed out the ego's need to be guilty. We shed out the ego's need to be wrong, right? Because in that moment, and you know how arguments work, right? Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. You did this, they did that, right? And so, if and going forward for everybody, not just you, but if we can come from a place of pure presence and we can see what is transpiring in front of us and we can listen and we can observe, then we are not putting our energy into what is being projected at us. And we're not using that energy then as a catapult back at that individual. Because what we're doing is we're able to see ourselves in that moment and what it is that is being created through the dynamic of the exchange between you or between anybody doing this, to understand what is happening here, right? What is it that's happening here? What is the dynamic? What is this really about? Right? And a lot of times we're going to play out arguments so that we can look at that and we can look at the argument and we can offer from a place of love, pulling ourselves out of it, not needing what I said earlier when we have to default into, either the masculine side of the human ego and complain back or berate or yell, or come from the human feminine aspect and be like, well, I really don't understand what you want. And then we watch our voice explode and, change into a thousand different places, right? So it's really important for us to pay attention to what is transpiring so that we can see, why did I set this up for myself? Because the other person, the soul of that person that's engaged in that conversation, that argument with you, is trying to offer you something, right? It's always trying to offer. That other person's always trying to offer us something, trying to offer us an opportunity for us to step back, come from a place of the observer, and look at what is transpiring, so that we're not coming from an emotional state. And it could be something as simple as retraining ourselves to come from that higher place within us. In other words, not coming from the victim mentality where somebody is yelling at me, therefore I must have done something wrong. Now I'm at fault. Now there's blame. Now there's shame. Now there's guilt. And through that becomes greater separation.
That's exactly where I was at that moment when that happened.
Right.
And I remember saying when I was laying on the ground, I said to Nancy, I said, well, I guess I'm not upset anymore. It was completely that state I was in. Oh, it was like a depression state. I was upset.
Yeah.
And it, when I was laying on the ground there and I realized what happened, it was completely gone, wiped out.
Yeah.
I came out of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This is really important because these higher level energies, if we're not paying attention, right, to whatever it is that we're is our experience and our reality, and looking at it with a greater purpose for it, we're doing ourselves a disservice because there's always something that's needed in the exchange, even if it feels like it's not wanted, right? Even if it's an exchange that feels very challenging, very difficult, very, there's always something that the soul has planned through that exchange. And that, people come into our lives for that purpose, to offer us something. So we have to have that awareness. It's so important to come from that place of awareness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that
Yeah.
does.
So I
The
want you.
emotions distract me so much when that's going on now.
Yes.
I
And
get
so,
sucked into it.
yep. And so what I want you to do is I want you to really allow yourself to sit in this energy. Your universe is giving you a timeout, right? Because sometimes, and might not be you, but sometimes we can run away from ourselves or run away from circumstances or situations, and we keep going because it's easier to do that than face the emotions, right? It's easier to do that than have the emotion that we're feeling within ourselves. Okay. I just had this the other day. Somebody sent me something in Instagram. I opened it up to look at it. I looked at it. It was, something cute. And then I don't know what I did. It wasn't intentional, but it went to the up to the next video, and it was these little kids, and these little kids that I guess, they were seeing each other and hadn't seen each other for a long time. To a little kid, might go a couple of days or a week might be a long time, and it was all these little clips of videos put together, with them, opening their door, and there's their friend standing there, and a 6-year-old runs out and goes, "Oh my God, I love you. I'm so happy to see you," crying, sobbing, whatever. And after the third one, I was crying like a baby. I was sobbing out of nowhere. couldn't figure out where the heck that came from, right? And it wasn't my job to figure it out. But I was sobbing like a baby, bawling my eyes out, right? And it was the idea of not ever having been loved like these little kids were offering love to each other, that pure, innocent love, right? Because we always want to say, oh, I love you unconditionally. But even when you say, I love you unconditionally, there's conditions to that. If you have to put the word unconditionally in there, you're already talking about a condition, right? There's no such thing. It's either love or it's not. And so I was having this moment of awareness and just let, and I don't cry. I have a hard time crying, right? I told the story the last time about Arlene and my exchange, and that made me cry, you know. But this was like to the next extreme. And I thought, you know, didn't I cry already like a couple weeks ago? Wasn't that? But this was like sobbing for like what felt like forever, right? I just let myself go with it. And then having that awareness about love. And then as fast as it turned on, it turned off and it was done. And then I was like, oh, that was so big. That felt really big. It felt really good. Like it was done. It was done. And then at the same moment, I had this incredible awareness that I had just cleared another human program, the program of needing to be loved by somebody, right? That program of relationships, of the needing of the love. Like, and when you get down to it in the love, I'm sorry, Liz, I will get to you in a minute. When you get down to it in the love and you get to that place of love with somebody, right? With yourself, when you love yourself, you stop picking people who don't love you. And then you are your love. You are fulfilled by yourself as love, and there is nothing else. But then when you come together with another soul that is rich and it's pure and it's just this soul experience, which just is making me want to cry right now because it feels so yummy and so good. That is what we all really want. But we think the human love is what we want until we hit that soul level up, and we don't know until we do, right? So I really feel like for you and maybe for Joanne and some other people on here too, I feel like, you know, the universe gives us this incredible time out. I've been a recipient of it 1,000 times. It gives us this really incredible opportunity for a time out and asks us to sit with ourselves and feel what feels uncomfortable so we can move it in our body, move it, get rid of it, right? Resolve it, pass it on, move it, release it, cry it out, yell it out, scream it out, whatever you got to do. And sometimes
Actually,
it feels uncomfortable. Go ahead.
that's something that ha when I was in the trauma unit, I ended up, I thought I was having a seizure, but I ended up having a panic attack, I guess, of sorts. And all of this, it looked like I was having a seizure and I was hyperventilating, but I was crying out of my eyes so much that I remember my pillow being soaked. And Nancy was holding me down and like trying to, and it happened twice.
Yeah,
So whatever that was,
your
got
field
out of me.
opened, you were having a Kundalini experience. Your field opened. And you were activating Kundalini. When light body activates, right? You don't let yourself be still enough to activate these higher level activations.
You're right.
I know. I know.
Yeah.
I know. And sometimes we don't care about ourselves enough, right? And it triggered all the fear that you hold on to, all the shame, the blame, the manipulation, all of that. And it allowed whatever was at the surface that has not been able to come up to come up so that you could clear it in that moment, which is why that happened. Now, we won't always know that, right? Because it feels like, we're having a seizure or something, but it's not. It's light body activating because sometimes we can't clear it any other way. Sometimes that was what that accident created, what that accident offered you, because you might have a month from now had a heart attack. And that built up energy that came out when you were hit by that car cleared, and you will not have the heart attack because you were hit by the car. Do you understand? Is this making sense to everybody?
I'll take the car over the heart attack
I'll
any
take
day.
the car accident over the heart attack. Thank you very much. Yes.
Wow.
So what I'm saying here is that we have to stop trying to understand or have an explanation for or a diagnosis for whatever's transpiring in the body and start bringing it up to higher levels. And every time we have an experience, go like, wow, light body is freaking blowing my mind right now, right? This is really like, bringing me to a whole other level that I can't even imagine for myself, right? So I think that this is really, really important for you to have this awareness and to come from this place of incredible love. No matter what anybody else is doing, become the observer to how you are interacting in your reality.
I get
Okay?
it. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank
Good.
you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, Liz.
Hello. Well, as you were
Hello.
explaining all that, I definitely could relate to it. I had chills from the top of my head down to my toe, goosebumps. Well, I can definitely relate to that. That's number one. Number two is, Rob, you look great. Besides all your hurting, but you look fantastic. I know you lost quite a bit of weight. You look great. Also, oops, I had an accident as well.
Oh, okay.
So, I really feel a bicyclist hit me
Oh, okay.
because I just picked up a brand new car as an SUV, never drove an SUV, only had not even 50 miles on it, so I was extra caution. But it's a two-lane down Long Beach Road, an island, and then two lanes the other way. I was proceeding to make a right, and this bicyclist came down on the wrong side of the road and he hit my car. And he didn't fall off the bike.
Okay.
But then after he looked at me, he let go of his bike and then he gently fell on the ground. He got up and he walked his bike over. I feel like it was a whole setup because he didn't speak English, couldn't even get his name, kept asking if he was hurt. And I called the police no matter what because I couldn't get even his name.
Okay.
And, I don't know what happened. I reported it to my insurance and an ambulance came and he walked into the ambulance. Some woman came, I think it was his mother, and she said, "No work." That was the only word she can say. She walked past him with her head down, "No work." So does that mean he has no insurance? I don't know. But I felt I was extra cautious at this point because I really believe he hit me. Needless to say, it was an accident. The policeman told me I did absolutely nothing wrong. He said, "You did nothing wrong." He kept assuring me.
Okay. So do
I
you
just had to
feel
share, but
you'd
since everybody's had accidents.
So let me stop you for a second. Do you feel you did nothing wrong?
Well, my first thought was, oh my God, I shouldn't have got this car. Maybe I'm too high. Maybe a million things went through my head. I hit a person. I would never in a million years ever hit a human being. And how did this happen?
Okay, stop right there. So, do you hear the blame, the shame, the
Yes.
victim, the guilt?
Yes.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a scratch on his bicycle. There wasn't a scratch on my car. And He looked okay. I don't know the results because he didn't have insurance. He was on a bicycle.
He might be an immigrant. He might be here
I
illegally.
absolutely think he was.
It's very possible under the new law here, he might be deported. So, listen, what's happening here is clearly karma. Okay? So if you stay in the energy that you're currently in, and everybody can hear it, okay? If you stay in the energy that you're currently in the emotion that you're feeling to this, what are you going to create? What outcome are you going to create?
Oh, I'm definitely creating the negative that happened without a
Yeah.
doubt. But
You're going
at
to
this,
create a scenario where there's going to be a clapback to you for this accident. But if you could see it as an opportunity to understand that you had an exchange here in order to get you out of storyteller mode, right? Because you probably didn't just tell us here on the community call what happened. You probably told a couple of other people, right? And then every time somebody shares a story that happened to them, we commiserate with our story and we keep that timeline alive. Do you see? But
yeah.
if we keep that timeline alive and we're so fearful of it, then we're gonna create something that is going to give us an opportunity to have to play it out more fully because we're not realizing that it simply was a soul exchange. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's very, very important to understand that we have to really be present to see what we're creating. When we have a need to tell a story and get emotional to it, and you are very emotionally in this story, you are still in the timeline of the accident. Now, you will keep creating in your reality from that timeline. How do we shift that?
Well, I would say throw it to the universe.
We step out of it and we see as an observer. Everything that I just said to Rob applies to you. You're going to have to listen to this class 10 times. Okay. If we are someone, and I'm speaking generally here, right? We are someone who gets very highly emotionally charged to a circumstance. We need to look at that because that is victim consciousness, right? Because as Liz was telling the story, we could hear the charge in her voice getting emotional. Her voice was getting higher, right? We have to look at that. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done there in order to shed that out. This, for me, when I look at it, when I tune into it energetically, frequency-wise, more than it was for you, this is for him. This is a big lesson for him. Okay? You did the absolute right thing. This is not a lesson for you, but you could get a lesson out of this if you really get stuck here and desire to have a lesson out of it. Okay? But when I tune into this energy and the frequency that's coming back from it, this exchange was never about you. It's about him and what he needs to learn.
I believe that.
Yeah, well, you don't. You don't. I lovingly say that to you, that you don't, right? I want you to be an observer to the circumstances of what took place between you and this individual. And I want you to practice telling yourself that this was simply a karmic exchange. I may have gotten emotional to it as it scared the heck out of me. I'm playing in the fear game of the ego, which wants to keep me separated from myself as source consciousness. But when I bring myself back into great awareness, the perspective I hold of the exchange with this individual was purely karmic in nature. That is something that you need to work on and you need to say all day, every day. Every time you think of that incident and you catch your breath or you get frazzled by it, because we need to really start paying attention to where we're holding fear so that we can work through situations or circumstances like that. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that's very deep.
Oh, it's very deep. Yeah. So let me share this. I'll get to you in a second, Joanne. But I want you to understand, I am not privileged. I do not sit on a pedestal somewhere up in the clouds next to source consciousness, right? I don't do that. I'm human like you. And this past summer, I was leaving the complex where I live here in Stony Brook. And to get out of here onto the highway, I made a right-hand turn, was making a right-hand turn onto Stony Brook Road. And I was distracted by something that had taken place just an hour before. I get to the corner and I'm very focused on looking left to see what cars are coming so that I could pull out to the right. But I wasn't as focused looking to the right and didn't see this group of like eight bicyclists or nine bicyclists. I think L Loretta might remember this story because I think I called her. I called her. So here I am. I'm at the corner. I'm inching my way out. And just as I go to step on the gas to pull, the car moves just a tiny bit forward. And I hear in my head, stop, right? So loud in my head. And I stop the car. And as I look straight ahead, as I'm pulling out, I start to turn to look to the right as I'm making the turn to the right. And there is this group of like eight young kids, young boys that couldn't have been more than like maybe 13. All in front of my car. Like their bike is against the bumper of my car. Had I not stepped on the brake at that moment, I would have run over five of them. Yeah, Debbie, I see your face. You're like, oh, that's, oh my God, that's crazy, right? Yeah. And one of them actually almost ran into my car, right? They were coming down the road. They did not care. They saw me inching out. They did not care. They had the right of way and they were coming through regardless, right? Now I stopped and then they got so angry at me that this one kid, probably the leader of the pack, stood there and he's like, "You're a effing asshole. Didn't you see us?" And he takes his fist and he bangs the hood of my car. Bang. And I was like, but because I was in observer mode, right? Didn't get too frazzled with this. I was in observer mode. I was like, I'm sorry. And I said that to all of them. I'm sorry. I looked, you weren't there. You came up so fast. By the time I looked back, here you are. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I said, maybe next time you could do a better job and stop if you see a car does not see you. And then they went on with some other, nonsense that they were spewing at me or whatever. And as they were riding away, they were looking back, giving me the finger and all this other stuff, right? I sat there and I was like, what the heck? So I called Loretta and I was like, you're not going to believe this, but I almost hit this group of kids. I would have ran right over five of them. Like, oh, me, could you imagine me running over five kids? No, I could not imagine that, right? I was having a heart attack. And As I talked to her, I was working through it, thinking in my head, like, it didn't happen, right? Didn't happen. It was a karmic exchange, right? For both of us, for them, just assuming everybody is looking out for them when they're not paying attention, looking out for themselves, right? And on the other side of the coin, me not doing my diligence and really paying attention or checking back to the right before I even started to proceed, right? I had looked briefly, but then looked left again. And by the time I went to make the turn to the right, there they were. It happened so fast. But what I know to be true is they were riding on the other side of the street. And then at the last minute, they crossed over to my side of the street. And that's why I didn't see them to the right, you know? So what I realized in the exchange of it, and one of the reasons I called Loretta was to just talk through it because I knew it was a karmic exchange, right? There was some kind of karmic exchange in that. It didn't happen. I didn't hit them. But what it did was it gave me the understanding that when we're really ascending our consciousness, and we're in this heightened state, and we're accessing all of these different dimensions, right? One second they're on the other side of the road, and then the next session they cross over, and like they're literally in front of me. It was in that moment that I had the awareness. I probably shared this in an old gathering that we have to be present in our body in every second and really be paying attention to our surroundings. And we can't be staring off into space when we're in a car, right? And where we have to be more present. So that was such a great opportunity for me to even realize that, like, I needed to be even more present than I was in my body because I wasn't as present as I could have been. I could have been way more present. Right. So we have these occurrences that come back, but I don't have emotion to it, right? I discharge that. Purge that out. I want you all to do the same thing and look at everything as a soul exchange. It's an exchange of the soul. Okay. And so we'll have these encounters as we're moving higher so that we can resolve fear. So that we can resolve guilt, we can resolve shame, we can resolve blame. But now we don't have to do that with other people in relationships anymore because going to be pointed, we're going to be pushed to point inward, like Rob getting this time out. I'm trying to say Rob and time out at the same time. Like Rob getting this time out, right? And he's got to like really just sit and just receive, be a good receiver. He should be sitting going like, yes, I am receiving the codes. Thank you. Thank you for the integration. I'm appreciating this integration. Light body, light up, codes integrate, Kundalini activate, right? Just really commanding your body to be in its fullness in every moment and not looking to say like, oh, I had a panic attack. Oh, maybe my light body is activating now that you know that it's a light body activation because that's what a panic attack is, right? But the 3D medical wants to call it a panic attack because they don't want us to know that we have a light body. It's a crazy world we live in, but that's another story for another time. So, Joanne, you had your hand up, and then I'm going to take Sarah.
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing is mind-blowing for me to have a couple of other people that have been through things too. Also, the fact that I need to stop talking about it, as you said, stop living it, as you said, because I'm finding myself getting a little fearful when I drive in the car too. So,
Well, the self-talk that I told Liz to do
exactly, that's what I'm saying.
is the same self-talk that I would tell you to do. You know, timelines are collapsing for us, and sometimes, you know, when we're not closing out a timeline. Like I closed out the timeline with Beth, right? I closed that out because my higher self was like, you have to do it. You have to do it. I was like, oh, I've done this so many times. Okay, I'm gonna do it, right? And I did it and I was like, okay, I'm moving. And then she was like, well, guess that speeds up my time. I'm like, okay, I guess it does, right? But if I don't do that, my timeline collapses. And I don't like timeline collapses. They're not fun because they send us scrambling at the last minute. So why does a timeline collapse? Because of fear. So if I was afraid of speaking my truth and let the timeline collapse, I'm in chaos. I've just created chaos for myself because I was in fear, right? But when I let go and I said I could resolve this, I could create a new reality. Let me bring this in. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to run with this. And I closed the timeline. The fear left with it. There was no fear.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But when we sit in what happened and we keep trying to tell a
Figure out
story
what
about
happened.
it,
Yeah.
we keep ruminating in those emotional energies of
What
it.
exactly happened? How did he hit the
What
passenger
is
side
it?
of my car?
What
And
is the matter? What is the
yeah.
matter? What is the
Right.
matter?
I'm okay.
Your higher self blipped you out in that moment so you would have that exchange so that you could really sit and get clear and get present on creating your reality. How else do we do it? Sometimes we need a big bang. We can't do it any other way.
And
You
you
know,
say
Rob
that
was
that
hit by
car.
the bar. Did that work? No, he didn't sit himself down and
Oh,
have a talk
oh.
with himself. He just kept going.
Oh my
Right? But
goodness.
really, Rob needed to take a time out and be like, "Hey, I'm not a freaking workhorse. I'm not a your work dog here. Like, I cannot do this all." But Rob didn't do that, and the universe said, "All right, well, if you can't stand up for yourself, we're going to collapse this timeline because you're not standing up for yourself. You're not giving yourself a time out. You're running yourself ragged, and your energy is depleted. You need to sit yourself down, take a time out." And Rob was like, "I can't take a time out. Nobody else is in the. There's nobody else to do the work. I have to do the work, right?" That's victim mode, right? And we do it unconsciously. It's not a judgment here, guys. We all do it unconsciously until we don't do it anymore, until we are done with the old beliefs that we hold on to. Once we're done with old beliefs, new timelines show up for us,
Okay.
right? But until then, we have to have these breakpoints of energy exchanges where the timeline collapses on us until we're willing to become responsible for the timelines.
What timeline, though? That's what I don't know.
So whatever timeline you are on, where you might still be dwelling in the need to be everybody else's victim. You know, I have to take care of my parents. I have to look after my
Okay.
sisters. I have to do this. I have to do that.
Yeah, okay.
No, because that's pain and suffering, right? And we didn't come here to be in pain or to suffer. However, the ego, which is still in the game of 3D, says, "Well, how will that look to everybody if we just walk away?" But the soul looks at that and goes, "Yeah, that's our salvation. Let's run. We're not going to walk, we're going to run." And the ego goes, "Well, we can't run. We can't leave. How is that going to look? I've got to stay here. I'm stuck. I can't move away from this." Right? And as long as we keep telling ourselves that's the timeline that we're sitting in. I'm
Or
stuck.
deal with it differently.
Huh?
Or deal with it differently.
Yeah, deal with it differently.
Correct.
You know, listen, when our mind is closed to doing something a different way, it's because our heart is closed. Okay? When our heart opens and expands, magic just floats in, right? Like I am finding myself with the letting go process that I've been doing, and like there's not
Not
nothing
easy,
there.
yeah.
Like I don't care. I'm gonna pack. I'm moving to Florida. I don't even know what Florida's got in store for me, but I'm going. And the signs have been pouring in. Loretta was in the car with me today. We were going to the farm to get some fresh eggs. And every time I said something, this warning alert for the weather was coming up on my screen, right? And every time I would say something, that would pop as like a validation of what I was saying. She was like, "Oh my God, you see that again? Like, this happened 10 times, right?" I look at that, I laugh, I get excited. I'm like, "This is so amazing." And what do I do with that? I just keep using it to open my heart, to
Okay.
have this massive heart opening, right? Then I find myself in this love with everybody. I'm in love with everybody. And, I could just sit and cry because I love everybody so much, right? And it just becomes this one big emotional love fest. And when the heart opens and the heart expands, we can't be mad at anybody who's unconscious. We can't be mad at anybody who doesn't see what they're doing. We can't be mad at anybody that is not operating from a place of love. We just
Right,
can't, right?
right,
But the most important place to be is the place of love for ourselves. And I'm telling you, you got to get on that timeline because this year is all about that. It's asking us to go within. It's not about relationships anymore. Let me just say this because, and then Sue, I promise I'm going to get to you. Thank you for your patience. But when we're in a relationship with somebody else, whether we're in the relationship, having sex in the relationship, or just in a living relationship with somebody in their energy field, they're in our energy field. We have to be really careful about that and really clear about that because we can take on the chaotic energy of that other person without realizing it, right? And I've learned to do a really good job of separating my energy so that I'm not doing that. But most of us don't know how to do that. Most of us don't do a good job of that unless we're coming into a great awareness to ourselves. And I know some of you here that do your work consistently with me. I mean, outside of this class, right? That are doing your work consistently or having the greatest experiences in your life where you're creating magic because you've taken your power back and self-empowered and stop looking at what somebody else is doing, saying, thinking, feeling, how they're thinking about you, right? We're not going to do that anymore. We don't do that. But when we're not paying attention and when we're not doing the work for ourselves and we're telling ourselves we're doing the work, but we're really not doing the work, we're not in the magic. We're not in the magic. And then we're in the chaos of whatever it is we're creating. So if you have a significant other and they're in a bad mood that day, if you are not careful, you're taking in that bad mood, right? You have to be really clear. Those of you that have significant others that are in the work and do the work and know that you cannot attach those significant others know exactly what I'm talking about. Right? And you will get to a place, I'm just going to say this because all of you know that I don't date anymore. I don't have a desire to date, don't have a desire to play in that field anymore. When you become your higher self, you're not looking to put anything outside of yourself, right? You're not looking to put anything, any attention outside of yourself. You're not looking for anything else. You understand and see the reality of sex. The reality of sex becomes the illusion of the 3D because it was just a way of getting into creator state, creative space within yourself so that you could feel what 5D felt like right through the orgasm. And that's why we had that. But we get locked and stuck into relationships thinking that we have to be in a relationship. And I'll tell you, the only relationship we have to be in is the relationship with ourselves. The minute we realize that, even if we're in a relationship with somebody else, we've re-empowered ourselves, source-powered ourselves, and then we no longer play that game with other people in our life. And then the person coming into our life can be that higher level, higher aligned individual that we need them to be. And they will show up for us consistently. But we're not. We're not, if we're not participating in that way and putting ourselves first, we're going to
That's fine.
fall every time because we're making somebody else's importance priority over ours.
Right.
Can't do that.
Just one more thing. The chaotic energy is from the family, so it's the same thing.
Okay, well,
Same
you
thing.
have to manage that. That's not your
That's the same.
energy to take in, right?
Correct. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
That's the
it's not
same.
your energy to take in.
Correct. Thank you, Maria. This has
Yeah.
helped. This has helped so much, and just having other people share their accidents recently, the energies must be, like you say, off the wall.
Well, I will tell
Thank you.
you, it's not what I planned to talk about tonight, so it's consistently the collective calling this in that is, much
Thank
needed
you.
here. So
Yeah.
I'm glad you're finding that this is helpful for you.
Very helpful.
So
Thank you.
thank you. Yeah. Sue?
I wasn't gonna say the first part, but it's kind of funny. I fell down the stairs last week when I was vacuuming,
Oh.
and the mo and I'm fine. The moment before I fell, I was feeling frustrated about the vacuum, about cleaning the house again, because people are coming to show, coming to see it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just thought it was funny because if we let our consciousness lapse for even a second, it's so quick now. It's just
It's so fast
like
now.
that.
It's
So
so fast.
now I just tell my vacuum, I love it. I love to have a clean house. I love my house.
Yeah. Yeah,
That.
I mean that's important too, right? If we have clutter, clutter creates chaos in our field.
Oh, I have
So
no clutter.
we can't have clutter. Don't drive in a cluttered car. Don't have a cluttered house, because it creates chaos in the field. But that's I'm glad you're not hurt and you said you're not hurt because I wouldn't see anything in your field. Your field, you look fine to me. So you look better than fine. You've ascended that out of that need to be the victim to cleaning or the victim to change, because that's really what that's about.
In fact, I started to like not just say when I wake up in the morning that I appreciate this miracle of a day. But I also say I'm ready to receive all the magic.
Yeah.
And oh wow, there's a lot of magic happening.
Yeah,
But
bring that magic. The energies are high, yeah.
what I was gonna say was, how does everybody stay in their body? Because I know that I float out a lot, and I find doing yoga really brings me into my body. So just like as you're going about your day, I was just gonna ask what people do.
Does anybody want to share what they do to stay in their body?
I
Arlene?
pause. That's what I do.
You
If I
pause?
catch myself coming out of my body, I kind of just stop for a second
Okay.
and just check where I am. But I
Good.
do it all day long, every day. I'm
All right,
constantly
well,
going ahead of myself.
now you really
Oh,
need to be present. Yeah, it's important.
yeah.
Yeah. Good. Very good. Arlene? Arlene's like, what? You're calling on me? Come on, sister.
I knew it. I was like, no, don't call me, don't call me. No. My gosh, that's a hard one because I'm not very good at staying in my body. But I do try. I guess for me, it's more, it's about breathing, right? And being intentional and with the attention of my breath. And then just being in nature is really important to me. Like that's how I do it and just keep seeing like the anchoring in of my breath and my energy and bringing it in and then kind of being rooted within me. Like, so not into the earth, but just rooted into me and be like, okay, come back for a moment. Like, we can't always be here.
Perfect. That's perfect. Yep. That's what we need to do. We need to breathe into the body when we can get out in nature. Nature is really important for us. Okay. But it's present awareness, breath work. And I'm not saying, any particular kind of breath work. I'm saying just breathe into your body, strongly inhale, right? We're not going to do those shallow breaths like, right? We want to really bring that breath in, right? And feel that breath and then really let that breath out, right? That wakes up all the cells. It wakes up the body. Yeah. So that's perfect. Yeah.
That's really helpful. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, see, that's why I asked. It's important for us to take these breaths. And as I said earlier, if you're driving and you're finding yourself drifting and your eyes are staring off into space and you're not really paying attention, breathe, right? Breathe and then blink your eyes, right? Blink your eyes every so often and just be like, okay, I'm present. I'm here. I'm driving, right? Because sometimes we're driving and the monotony and or the road noise or whatever is making us feel sleepy. We want to go to bed, whatever. Make sure you're staying present. It is so important to have that presence, that present awareness of what we're creating. Okay. Really important. What else did I have on here that I feel like, let me just go through here and just take a look. I know most of us are working in dreams right now, more than playing in dreams, because the play is supposed to happen in the physical space, right? And so play and joy and all of that aligns us with our purpose. And that's a big one. We've talked about that in other gatherings that we've had, but it comes up over and over and over and over again. And I always say to people, you find your purpose through your joy. And a lot of times, people, I see this in spiritual community, they'll go for, let's take Reiki, because it's very common. Go and they'll have Reiki sessions, and then they feel called, oh, I should do Reiki. And then they go do Reiki, and they suddenly think that Reiki is supposed to be their purpose. So they're supposed to do Reiki, right? But that's not really the purpose. The Reiki was an activation for them to feel joy receiving Reiki. And then maybe their purpose was in from the joy that they felt and the healing that they received, they felt a greater connection to the earth. And, maybe they were meant to be, working a florist, maybe creating floral bouquets and florists. I mean, our purpose is not always what we think it is. We'll be led to it, but we have to find our happiness and our joy first. Okay, it's not the other way around, right? Does anybody want to share on that? Anybody feel that they could share on that? I know one person who could share on that. Thank you. Thank you for stepping up.
Oh, we gotta stop
Alina, I know you're
this.
going to call on me again, so I'm just going to
Yes.
stop.
Yes. So I guess I don't know how far back to go. I guess we'll kind of keep it a little bit more present. So I did this event that I hosted. I was trying it for the first time where I was doing this like event of like Turkish coffee readings, and it's more like a social event, right? So it's more just for fun where people can play with some oracle cards and then have some delicious Turkish coffee and then look at the grounds and how to read it, blah blah blah. And so yeah, so at the same time, I don't really think that's my thing, but I feel like what came through from that was something I had dismissed before, and then because it got brought up again, I can feel like the universe is like, okay, it's time to understand your discomfort with it, but there's something in it for me to at least look into and research and see. So as you know, I became a reverend. So with the certification that I have at this point, there's lots of things I can do except marry someone, because that takes a whole nother thing through the Ontario government, right? But a lot of the things I can do, there's still so many things I can do. So what's been coming up is to do end of life, or a ceremony for celebration of life. And that's something that's been showing up now in my reality. And I'm doing some research into that. And because one of the people who came for the Turkish coffee reading, she's dying of cancer,
Oh,
and it seems
okay.
like she only has a few months to live. But so, and so she, and then from being here for the event and finding out I was a reverend and asking me questions, she's like, it just gave me this feeling of, I think your energy would be what I would want, because I don't want the traditional Catholic Italian, because she's Italian, I'm Portuguese, but she understands, right? Like we have the European, the way they do it. And she just thought, I don't want that. I want more life brought into my celebration of life or for her passing. So it's something I'm looking into. And
An end of life doula.
yeah, I have a friend who is a death doula, but it would be more where I would look into doing the like the ceremony, because of being a reverend, I could do the celebration of life. And but that was a conversation I was having today. I thought, how beautiful would it be to maybe when I go talk to my friend, to talk to her more and maybe in some way be with her. And yeah, and like almost like support those who are already, like maybe even before they pass away, we could do a celebration of life, so that maybe the funeral really won't be needed, like not the traditional funeral, because we celebrated while they were still here. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I thought there's an option for two different things, where I could do it after, but still like meet up with them when they are still here. And then, this way they can tell me this is what I want. And then I can be as involved as they want me to be, or as little involved as they want me to be. Yeah. So that's something that was coming through. And I feel like maybe doing the Turkish coffee thing really isn't my thing, because I don't want to be a fortune teller. But that's not my
But it's
jam,
fun
right?
once in a while.
Yeah,
I get it.
but I thought, I feel like that was more of the reason, was for these things to come through. And as I've said to you before, I feel that the becoming reverend was like an activation for me, and I didn't really know where it was going. And I've just kind of been letting things reveal for me and just following the breadcrumbs and seeing where it goes. And I feel like this is another phase that's coming in, and it feels more genuine to who I am and what I want to offer
Oh, that's exciting.
to to humanity. So yeah,
Yeah.
there
Very
you go.
exciting. Yeah. That's so cool. I love it. Anybody else want to share? No? There's so many of you that could share that you don't want to share. Okay. Thank you, Sue.
I didn't understand the question until Arlene answered you.
Frequencies at play, right?
So I don't know. I just feel like there's nothing but abundance now, that our natural state is abundance.
Yeah, but you didn't start out. What's your
Oh.
strongest offering? Right. What did you start out with initially when you started out your spiritual work? Where were you going with your spirituality?
Cannabis.
You what?
I was teaching people about cannabis.
Yeah, and now you're a far cry away from that. That's where I'm going with this conversation. So you started out with that, but you are a long way from home. Yes? With your offerings and your botanical formulations and all of that sort of stuff, you're a long way from home. So I feel like we shift. We can get activated, right? The cannabis stuff activated you to the next level of it, just like Arlene is activated through the Reiki and other things. And who knows if she's going to stay as a death doula or if there's something else she's going to move on to. But if we allow ourselves to tap into these timelines, we're integrating that timeline into the next highest timeline. And the importance of that is that We have to remember that we don't have to get stuck in any one particular timeline. But what happens is, and I see this all the time in the spiritual community, there'll be somebody that opens to a channel, right? They open as a channel, and let's say they're channeling the Galactic Federation. And then their whole life they spend channeling the Galactic Federation. They've just limited themselves to that being all there is. Okay. I remember when I activated to channeling, and I was channeling Ra, the sun god, and I was channeling all these beings, and then I was channeling the Council of Nine and like all these different beings. And then it was like I hit ninth dimensional consciousness with faith coming through, right? My higher self faith. And then I realized everything is me. Like I could be a channel of everything. There isn't one thing I couldn't be a channel for, or one being I couldn't be a channel or interact with, or whatever. And when I stopped playing in that story and I stood in that higher self, she elevated me to a higher state of consciousness. And then suddenly I didn't have to be the persona of the channel of the Galactic Federation, or the channel for Ra, the sun god, or the channel for the Council of Nine. It's just same thing as a shaman getting stuck in just being a shaman for the rest of their life and never moving to be anything else, right? Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but what I am saying is that we limit ourselves thinking that that's our birthright. That's what we're here for. But it's not. It's just we're passing by or moving through. It's like driving by somebody's house and waving to them and being like, hey, you're driving by. You're not meant to stop and park and stay there forever, right? I don't think Loretta wants me to move in with her and live there forever, but it's nice to have a drive by once in a while and go, hey, you want to go hang out somewhere, whatever, right? But we get stuck in thinking that this is who we're supposed to be. And we create this persona surrounding it. And then we spend our life there and we don't look higher. We don't move higher. Now, again, no judgment, because if somebody chooses to stay in that alignment and simply be a channel, there is no judgment with that. But I say, stretch yourself. Why settle there? You're on an escalator or an elevator to the top. That's just one floor along the way of a bazillion floors. Does that make sense to you guys? Yeah. And this is part of what's happening. So stretch yourself. Don't get stuck in a timeline. Right? Because that is a timeline. Plays into the dogma of the whole spiritual community. And it limits us. We limit us through that, right? So we need to remember that in every moment, we need to be expansive and not play small. And if we want something to happen, we have to put the intention out there into the reality of it. Otherwise, we're not going to make it manifest. Be intentional. It's very important to be intentional. Let me see if I have any points here that I think might be. No, I think I touched on some of this. This might be the talk for another time we're going to have. Yeah, I think we pretty much touched on all of this. Right. Maybe the understanding of a timeline. So when I say timeline, timelines, a timeline can create a sense of space and separation within us, right? We sit in an idea or a space. And we get comfortable in that space, right? Like if Arlene was to get comfortable being a tea leaf reader, right? Or Sue had become so comfortable being someone who talked about cannabis and never expanded or explored beyond that. Those are timelines. They can sit in that space, that stasis of energy, and never explore anywhere beyond, right? And timelines are not flat. Timelines are not like, they're not like this, right? Timelines are spiral. And that's why the timelines can intersect with themselves over and over again, where we'll constantly meet the same person over and over again, thinking they're someone new, but yet they're bringing the same circumstances, the same experience to us, just in a different way, in a different body, in a different form, right? But it's the same experience over and over again because we're stuck in that timeline because we haven't done the work to move beyond it, to have a different experience for ourselves, okay? So we'll get caught in that cycle of that timeline. And really, all a timeline is a space holder for how we are experiencing the reality that is a projection of our consciousness, that is a projection of our mind, our consciousness. But what we forget is that we hear it all the time. It says, well, you know, the reality is a projection of your consciousness. Yes, it is. But where is that consciousness being fed from? Is it being fed from the higher self source? Or is it being fed from the unconscious subconscious mind? That's like the bottom of the iceberg that's under the hidden waters that we never see. That consciousness is fed from somewhere. So if it's not being fed from source, and we're not thinking in higher terms, we're not operating from higher terms, seeing a higher perspective, then we're operating from the illusion what is under the water. Does that make sense? We have to be so present, we're denying or in rejection of the lower thinking. In other words, somebody comes into our life and they're playing the same role as the person that we just kicked out of our life. That we're like, okay, this person was drama, 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 right? And keep bringing in the drama, and I don't want to interact anymore. And then this person shows up, and you're like, oh, I have drama again. I wonder why I have drama again. What's going on here? But you're not paying attention enough to understand that you're allowing for that drama. Because you have not closed that timeline out. There's something within you that is still needing to experience that in whatever way that is. Okay, Arlene?
I sort of had a, I guess a question, just because it was something that I was picking up on these last few days, where I guess the easiest way to kind of describe it is, it's like there's it's like, I don't know, it's like there's a split in the timeline. So it's like we're in these two different paths, right? So like right now there's presence of these two different paths, but what's interesting is that even though technically it looks like two different paths that we're in right now, and it depends which one we're going to choose, but in that path, it's like you see there's, you know, just to make it simpler. So this path, there's still like five different timelines. Let's say that you can choose on this path, and then on this other path is another five. So it's almost like even though there's these two different paths, there's still a bunch of timelines in those paths. And the way I was seeing it was, you know, sometimes too, like I tell people, like sometimes with timelines, it's so, there's so many parts of it where they're so similar, where it's like, let's say in this timeline, you're wearing a red shirt flying a kite, but in this one, you're wearing a blue shirt and you're, you know, playing with a football, but it's that similar. It's just that, you know, like, and then eventually they can sort of emerge because they are so close to each other. So I don't know if I was just wondering, like,
So,
sometimes I see it like right now, like the energy that I've been picking up on is I almost see it like that, like we're in this split right now, and one timeline is getting a little stronger than the other, but at the same time, there's still multiple timelines in those separate paths. Does
Well,
that make sense?
the way that it works is there's only two timelines right now, right? All timelines are merging to the higher 5D and beyond because we're already anchored 12th frequency and beyond. I mean, we're probably like at 100 already or something like that, but it's what our body is capable for. So if you think about it, we have two options, right? We're playing in the lower timeline, which is going to be suffering. So anywhere where you are suffering, if you are in pain or you're suffering or you are not having a good experience in life, you can see that you're dabbling in a 3D reality in some way, shape, or form. 3D, 4D. Okay, that's pain and suffering. But if we sit and we look at timeline potentials, and this is really important, if we sit and we look at timeline potentials, then we're going to look at all the potentials that are available to us. Now, there might be like a bazillion timelines out there, right? But then there's not really only a handful, maybe five, that are really more aligned with us. And out of those five of the bazillion that are out there might only be two that are really a path we would want to align or choose. And if we look at that, we can really narrow it down and assess then and say, which one of these do I want to experience as my reality? Right? Which one do I want to play on? Which one do I want to have as the reality that I'm going to be navigating? Right? And so it's really up to us to look at all potentials before we make decisions in our life to see what that looks like. Now, I could use myself with Joe and say, well, for the better part of the last 6 months, I've been turning him down about house sitting for him in Florida because I knew the internet there wasn't good. And I really didn't want to have problems on these calls where, we wouldn't be able to connect. Like that was not even an option in my world, right? And then I simply said, if that is a timeline I'm meant to be on, it keeps coming up and nothing else is opening. I mean, I looked at a lot of different things. Loretta looked, her niece looked. I had people looking and nothing was opening. And I said, if it's meant to be, meant to come along, make it so obvious to me. And then a month ago, he came back to me and he was telling me, he's like, yeah, it really stinks. That I can't find anybody, blah, blah, blah. He goes, but my uncle will do his best to watch out for the property. And, I'll leave Lasagna with him and he'll be in a kennel there. Not my ideal, but it's better than, anything else right now. And then we're talking and stuff like that. And I'm like, I said something to him about, I said, oh, I said, you haven't been on the calls. I said, you still having problems with your Wi-Fi or something? And he says, oh, I didn't tell you. And I'm like, tell me what? And he's like, no, I have no problems with Wi-Fi at all anymore. I got 5G. And I'm like, you what? And he's like, yeah, I'm 5G wired now. He's like, I never drop a call. Everything is good. He's like, no, I just haven't been able to get on them because I've been working so much. So I haven't been able to get on the calls. I'm like, wait, you have 5G now at the house? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, that's the only thing that was stopping me from house sitting for you because I couldn't figure out a way that I would ensure my community that I wouldn't drop a call. So I couldn't take that timeline. I wasn't taking that timeline. And he was like, well, it's yours now. And that's how that all came about, right? But I was not willing to settle for a timeline that was in a lower reality. And I was just waiting patiently, patiently going like, I know my timeline is going to open up. It's coming. I know it's out there somewhere. I just have to wait for it. It's coming, but it's closer. It's getting closer. I know I can feel it. And there it was, right? It presented itself, but I called that in because I wasn't seeing what I wanted, and I wasn't jumping to a timeline that was in a lower reality, right? I was making sure it was everything I wanted in the higher reality. Otherwise, it was a no-go. So when we're looking at timelines, we have to be really, really clear. Okay. It's really important for us to sit down and really sit in what the potentials are so that we can make the higher level choices. If something is not working in your life, if there is fear, resolve it. If there is resistance, remove it. That's all ego. If you are playing in a karmic timeline with someone, there is a lack of mutual respect, love, compassion, support, whatever. You got to bring that timeline into a higher vibrational state. You got to bring it into a higher reality, or you have to close it down. This is how timelines work. We do not sacrifice ourselves, right? So take a look at what is happening in your reality and see what it is that you need to do to create higher alignment for yourself. Does this make sense to you guys? All right, because this is really where the work is. And if you can't figure it out on your own, do a session. Do a session so we can get this straightened out and you are not being dragged behind the car as the car is speeding down the road, because that's what's going to happen, right? No pun there for you, Rob, but I'm just saying, we don't want to get dragged. We don't want to go kicking and screaming. We want to be out in front, right? We want to be charging forward in the highest way possible on the highest timeline. Okay. And I'm always going to do my best to point myself to that highest timeline for you so that you can see the work in action. Okay. There were some very magical things that have popped up for me the last 2 days. I will be sharing them as we roll forward. Stuff that I saw the timeline potential for, and I got excited. There was a part of me that, wanted to be like, well, I'm not sure that that could happen. I mean, like, that would just be like, Alice in Wonderland or, Snow White or some magical fairy tale-ish kind of thing. But it's there. It's a timeline that's building right now with what's happening here, right? And it's freaking exciting. It's so exciting. And I'm going to bring this all to you. And this is what we're going to be doing. And this is where we're going to be working. We're not failing this year. None of us are failing this year. We're going forth with excitement. We're going forth with perseverance. We're moving obstacles out of our way, right? We're going to take this year by storm. But we have to stay out of that out there and just let it play out. Don't put yourself in the middle like a ping pong ball, right? Because, and I'm just gonna share something real quick here. So I see the separation. Even the people that are awake are letting themselves be separated by stupid stuff, right? Now, one of the things that's happening is like, oh, Trump is doing all these things, but how come he's creating a cancer mRNA vaccine when he knows vaccines are bad? It looks like he's on board with vaccines, right? Like, from all intents and purposes, and he's going to create this. And then we go like, oh my God, what is he doing? Doesn't he know? Look at this, right? Back and forth. But what if that's an illusion and that's not really the truth? What if the only way that he can expose the darkness is to get on board? And then when it fails, he can say, ah, gotcha. Didn't he do that with Fauci? Yeah, right? But if you put your head in the middle of the paddles, you're going to be going like to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right, watching all the moves. Why do we want to do that? Why do we want to be in that emotion? You're not going to create anything if you're there. You're not going to create anything if you're in the midst of that. Don't do that. Don't do that. That serves no purpose at all, right? Look at your reality and what you're building. Get excited for where you are, for the amount of intel you are taking in, for the new ways in which you are seeing your life, for the new ways in which you are experiencing yourself. Get excited for that. When you hear me talk about stuff and you're like, I'm right in the pocket. Who knew, right? Oh my goodness, I'm right there. Get excited about that so you can stay in the pocket, so that you could stay on that timeline, right? Now Rob knows that every time he has a little panic attack, it's his light body activating. That's exciting. If we make it something bad and we make it a panic attack and we put it in 3D, he's going to suffer. But if he lets himself have the panic attack, he might blow the doors open and allow himself to have a full Kundalini awakening. I'm just saying, I don't know, but I'm just saying that is a possibility, right? And then Rob will be teaching this class. So, anything and everything is possible, right? Don't limit yourself. Start to notice. Start to notice what is happening in your reality. Start to notice when you are having alignment and when you are not. And we do this, and I get a little tough with you. Don't let yourself fall back or be intimidated or be frustrated or feel judged, right? We have to do this in order to pull ourselves forward in the direction we need to go in. Otherwise, we're going to be here a year from now in the same position. We don't want to do that. We want to be ahead of this game. We want to be the wood snake shedding its skin. We want to be the wood snake shedding the relationships that just don't work anymore, shedding the old ways of doing things that don't work anymore, shedding the jobs that are no longer in vibrational alignment with us, shedding the old ways of thinking that says we don't get to have a timeout because everybody else is having a timeout, so we can't have a timeout, right? See the stories you are running and kill those belief systems. And then you will watch yourself soar. Okay. Anybody else before we close? Tamara says, my mother's been visiting me in my dreams. Yeah. A lot of you are going to be opening in your dreams to a lot of the work that's going to be done. Right? It's going to be, yeah. I mean, they say it's going to be a magical year for Cancer. I am a Cancer. It's going to be a magical year. But I have to believe it's going to be a magical year, right? Because that's a story astrology is telling, right? It's also supposed to be a magical year for Scorpio, Tamara. So, I mean, this is, we could, where are we telling the stories from, right? We want to take what's in our highest alignment and work from that. So grab this year by the tail, the snake tail, right? And let's do this. Let's shed what does not belong to us anymore. Let's shed all of the stories that our families have told that we believed, all the stories our friends, our fellow associates, our teachers, our peers. Let's shed all of those stories. Let's shed the stories from the people that want to keep us stuck because they don't want us to move ahead of them. Let's shed those stories. Let's set ourselves on fire like the phoenix and ascend this world in the biggest way, right? All right. That's it for me. Anybody have anything? Liz is saying she had extreme ringing in her ears, almost deafening. Yeah, you're having a shift. You're having a shift. When you have ringing in your ears and you can't hear anything because you're hearing the ringing, your body, your frequency is tuning higher. Take it in, love it, sit and listen to it. Sit, close your eyes and be like, yes. Put your fingers in your ears and be like, all I hear is you, frequency. Yes, I'm taking you in, right? That is how we shift. We're getting an upgrade. That's how you're getting an upgrade, right? Embrace it all. Embrace all of it. Okay? It's all here for us. The illusion is illness. It's part of the illusion. Don't fall for it. It's part of the illusion. Okay? Don't fall for it. So I'm going to leave this here. I didn't make up the schedule for February yet. I am certain that I will not be having a class the week I'm leaving, which is the 24th, right? But we will have classes up until then. And if I have to, I will make a supplement class that you'll be able to listen to. If there's anything that is taking place with you that you have not been able to come on and share, and this is mostly for the people that have not come on to the live, please let me know because I'm happy to incorporate it into what it is that we're talking about. And like I said, the only limitation that we have is the limitation we self-impose. So remove that. And tell yourself how amazing you are every day, okay? Because that's the reality. Do not play small. All right? I love you guys. We're going to end here. I know we're a little over, but I'm sure that's okay with you. I will post the next schedule as soon as I can. Thank you so much for being on this call. It's always my pleasure to connect with you and also those of you that are listening to the replay. I love you so much. Have a wonderful whatever it is that you're doing. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you so much. If you want to unmute and say goodbye, collective energy will create here. And see you
Thank
soon.
you.
Love you,
Thank
Maria.
You.
Bye,
Yeah.
everyone.
Thank you,
Be
everybody.
well, Rob.
Bye.